in God.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret with your host, author, and teacher, Sylvia Pierce. The Liberating Secret is dedicated to revealing the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Let's join Sylvia Pierce for today's lesson.
He died and rose again to set me free. Hello, welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm the host of The Liberating Secret, and I've got my special guest and friend, Brian Coatney, with me. We've been going through the book of Galatians. We love teaching the Bible together. We just feel the need in the body of Christ that the Bible really be brought to the forefront of a lot of Christian teaching. You know, it's like you don't even really understand what Paul is saying in his epistles. I mean, there's not a whole lot of teaching on that. So we feel the call that God has given us, that call to really bring forth the epistles of Paul. We feel like Paul had the great revelation of Galatians 2:20. We just talked about that last time. And which is our identity in Christ, which is what really sets us free and is the liberating secret. So we discussed that last time. And we're getting ready. We're heading into chapter 3 of Galatians. And I think that's pretty great. I think Paul is really to the point in this little book of Galatians. So, Brian, shall we start in chapter 3?
Well, what a start he makes, O foolish Galatians.
Right.
So he has, the last time we were talking about his confrontation with Peter, mm-hmm. and how that became a springboard for saying, you know, Peter, we know that we're not justified by the works of the law, and but by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we're justified. And so if while we're seeking to be justified by faith in Christ, there's sin pops up, how do we deal with it? Mm-hmm. And so do we get nervous and scared and go back under law, which is really self-effort, which really traces all the way back to Satan hiding out with that deception, trying to deceive us into thinking we're independent selves, mm-hmm. who can keep ourselves and keep the law? Or do we just continue on in the Spirit? Because even if sin occurs, there's no remedy by the law. That our recourse is simply to agree with God. And I mean, conviction comes from the Spirit, and so all we ever do is agree with the Spirit and then walk on in the power of the Spirit.
Well, you know what? It's a little bit unfortunate that Paul does not bring out the term sanctification, because he's saying we're justified certainly by faith, mm-hmm. but we're sanctified as well by faith. And you know, we really visit that pretty strongly in Romans when we do our Romans series. And so, but actually verse 19 and 20 of Galatians does the same thing. So it's actually moving from justification, mm-hmm. which is totally by faith, mm-hmm. into sanctification by faith, or the walk of faith, mm-hmm. or how to live the life of faith, mm-hmm. really. And so, and that really does go into our identity. Mm-hmm. And you know, Brian, in the little book of First John, John talks about the young men, and he says that they overcome the mm-hmm. evil one, because the word of God is strong in them, and they've overcome the evil one. Well, I think Galatians brings that truth out as well, mm-hmm. because knowing your identity in Christ certainly overcomes the power of sin in us, because we know that we're really dead to the law. That's mm-hmm. what verse 19 said, dead to the law. So if you really know you're dead to sin, that's mm-hmm. what Romans 6 says, and then Romans 7 says we're dead to the law. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know that we're dead men, mm-hmm. but then resurrected as not just us living, but Christ mm-hmm. living. And so the whole real truth of our sanctification is that
we can't live the Christian life, that actually it takes the life of another to live in us and through us. And we like to say, as us, which some people say, wait a minute, as us. But a little First John again says, Jesus. John said, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. Mm-hmm. So we're the extended body of the head, which so we operate the same way Jesus does. And so it isn't us living, just like it wasn't Jesus, the human, just living by himself. It was the Father expressing his love nature through him. So therefore, our life is not just us living. It's really Jesus Christ living, reliving again as us.
Right, which you're saying what he says here in Galatians 2:20, because he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but wait a minute, not I, but with Christ, which is what you've been saying, so I won't repeat that.
But he's saying, if you don't see that, then Christ is crucified in vain.
Yes.
So that's why we feel so emphatic about bringing this to the body of Christ.
Because when he opens verse chapter 3 here and says, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? I mean, the idea of bewitching is
witchcraft.
And so in the life of King Saul, in I think the books of Samuel, Samuel tells him when Saul, when he disobeys, that his disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. So not to walk in faith is really witchcraft.
My goodness.
And we think witchcraft, witches, and spells, and incantations. But not to walk in faith is to be bewitched, and of course the Satan is the bewitcher, and that's it's witchcraft to go under law to try to be like Christ. Is why I tell Bible studies trying to be like Christ is a sin, which sounds shocking to some.
Well, you know what, Brian? A friend of ours, Bill Bauer, out in Pasadena, was telling us the other day when he was here at our conference that there was a minister that stood up in his church, and it's a huge church out there, and said, you know, we Christians are under witchcraft. Well, I mean, that certainly rocked everybody's, like, what are you saying? And he said, how many of you are trying to live the Christian life and trying to be good like Jesus? And most everybody raised their hands. He says, you're the ones under witchcraft. So at the end of the whole service, he said, I want people to repent, because that's, I mean, that's pretty strong. But it actually, it is saying exactly what Paul is that strong in this, in this letter, by saying that, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You're under witchcraft if you think, if you think you can live the Christian life by your own self-effort. And then I love what he says, that ye should not obey the truth. See, we think obedience is trying to be like Jesus, when obedience is actually obeying the truth of the gospel, which we certainly brought out in the last program, in the last chapter, is obeying the gospel is believing that Christ, that you no longer live, Christ lives in you. That's obeying, that's really obedience, and not just doing good things. Now, the doing comes out of the being. It doesn't come out of us trying to do. You see, that's the subtle difference. It looks like, what are you all saying? Well, we're meant to be because the being of Christ is within us, and he fulfills the law through us, as us, naturally. And it's not, it's supernatural, but yet it ends up being our natural life. And so he says that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. In other words, you've heard the gospel, but you're not obeying the gospel. You're not living by the gospel. And, you know, I think that's really, really important, and we're making a big point of this. We were just talking to somebody yesterday that's been going to church forever and ever and ever, and they were talking about how they thought people could be good apart from Christ. And I said to them, you know, you don't really know the basic gospel. Because Romans certainly said that none can be good, that there is none good apart from Christ. And Galatians 20 says that Christ is the righteousness expressed through me. And so I thought to myself, you know, this Christian woman has been going to church many years and yet does not even know the basic gospel. Mm-hmm. It's very alarming to me, Brian. It is because... And I was just with Pat Robertson not too long ago, having dinner with him, actually, and I was commending him of his recent teaching on the foundations of Christianity, which I thought are very good, and I think he has those available on, you know, from his program. But anyway, I said, thank you for teaching, you know, that basic Bible truths and the basic gospel, and he said, well... And I said, it's so necessary. And he says, I know, it's probably because it's not taught enough, you know, in the regular church circles, which is kind of sad to say. So he even admitted that and said that to me. But anyway, so Paul is bringing forth this truth again. My goodness, could we be under a seducing spirit of witchcraft when we think that we're the ones that I'm so responsible. I have to be... See, the big I keeps popping up. You see, the big independent I keeps popping up whenever I'm saying I have to be responsible. I'm the one that has to keep myself. I'm the one that has to do the good. You see, that's the problem. That's what was crucified with Christ, because that's a satanic... That's satanic thinking, and it's satanic understanding, and it's satanic performance to believe that the human eye in and of itself as a created being can produce its own righteousness and even keep itself. So that independent big eye runs deep, deep, deep inside our consciousness. And so we have to be shaken off of it, usually through some kind of crisis.
Failure.
You know, shaken off of that. And God has to prove to us that big I, that human self, who's really nothing but a simple container and vessel, is not the performer of righteousness. And God knows how to shake us. That's why I love the verses in Hebrews, Brian, that says that God is going to shake everything that needs to be shaken so that nothing is left except himself in you. So as that comes, then we will truly know what it means to overcome the evil one, like 1 John says. What it really means to stand true in who we really are and walk as spirit beings. I mean, the beings that God intended us to walk as. And, you know, that the church will rise up in a mighty new power of the Spirit to take care of the satanic rule, even of this earth. So I think we have a very important message, Brian. And
which is really the message here of the, I'm not minimizing what you're saying, but it's saying it's not original by us.
It is not.
I mean, oftentimes coming away from our jail Bible studies at home, my mother-in-law Mimi will say, Brian, great lesson. And I'll say, well, when you have great material in the Holy Spirit, meaning, you know, the letters of Paul and the anointing of the Spirit to preach on them, how can you go wrong? So I'm not generating something in the 21st century this has been around since the beginning.
Right in Galatians chapter 3.
And he calls them foolish. And interesting here how he says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently, openly set forth, crucified among you. So what would they had seen it. So this is not a case of never having seen it. You know, many people have never even seen it, but it's different here. He's saying you did see it and you're drawing back from it. And so Christ has been presented as crucified. Well, what's the opposite of that? Would be Christ not crucified or coming off the cross, which would mean Christ not dying, which then as if he didn't need to die because there's really is something that we could do. And I'm looking, tying this in with Galatians 2:20, as a, my thought here, just we're just discussing this spontaneously, that he doesn't say, I have been crucified with Christ. He uses a present tense, I am crucified. So in a sense, it could sound like, well, you know, it's not really over and finished. It's, you know, I'm still on the cross and he's still dying. But I don't think he's saying that. I think he's to say, I am crucified with Christ is to close the door to ever being again anything other than that.
That's good.
In other words, if I can imagine Paul's Holy Spirit thinking here, I would say he's thinking, how can I present this so that it doesn't sound like I was crucified with Christ or I have been crucified with Christ, which is true, but somebody might say, well, you know, I'm resurrected now, or but it's a false sense, getting a false sense is to undo that crucifixion. So to say I am crucified with Christ, it's there's a totality, a present tense, he gives it in a present tense to where it's a totality that you can't undo. Like,
right.
Well, it's over and done, as if it happened and somehow now fades out of mind and subtly becomes as if Christ comes off the cross and I come alive in a false, independent way again. And so it's not to say that Christ didn't die once and for all, never, as he says in Romans 6, never to be repeated, for in that he died, he dies no more. But to, in the mind of the Galatians, they were getting falsely coming alive as if they were the old self.
Yes.
And he's reminding them that self is eternally dead. You know, I presented Christ crucified to you. And so that's Christ crucified is the centerpiece.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking of why people are so unstable. And it's because of what you just said about this verse. It's a closed, this is the closed fact. This is the fact. Now, if people of faith would grab a hold of this fact and quit looking at, well, I don't know if he's crucified in me because I look this way and I look that way, you see? So they're not putting their dependence on the fact of this truth, which is obeying the truth. They're depending on how's it worked out in my life. Well, I don't see it totally worked out in my life yet, so maybe it's not true. You see, that's what they base it on. And so, to me, the way that a Christian gets stabilized is that they continue to go back to this fact, that they can grab hold of it. It is security. It is our security that we can say, this is a fact. This happened to me 2,000 years ago. I'm crucified, dead with Jesus Christ, resurrected, a brand new creation, and I'm not living anymore. It's him. Now, the devil will soon come after that and taunt you and tempt you and lie to you and tell you that can't be true. Look at you. You know, the man of faith will continue to hold on to this truth. And there are lots of scriptures, even in Hebrews, that talk about apprehending the precious promises. And so Christians are not stable in their walk because they will not apprehend the precious promises and say, it's a fact, it's a done deal in me.
Right.
And now I'm going to watch, I'm going to depend on God to walk that out in me. And as we do that, we will soon start being inner people instead of outer people. That's the problem. We've been outer appearance-minded so that it's that now it's like retraining our consciousness to see ourselves as God sees us and not as how we appear. So as we do that, God is really birthing in us a new dimension of seeing ourselves as spirit beings, and it revolutionizes our whole seeing as Christians, because then at that point I wanted to read the Bible all over again, because everything was new to me then, because I was seeing new. And so that's what God wants to bring in us, but it cannot come unless we obey the truth. That's the one condition. People say, well, what's my part? That's it. The one condition.
He's saying here, when he says, I am crucified with Christ, it's like, well, I this, and we, you know, in our time of deception, we'd say, well, I this and I that. I'm trying to get rid of the I, or that ego self. I'm trying to crucify the ego, or crucify my ego, which is to try to subdue it, manage it, suppress it, groom it, put it to death, get it out of the way, wish it weren't there. What, you know, all the different things that we try to
self-improve.
Right, try to do with the I.
Self-crucify. Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying that I, really, which he calls in Romans 6 the old man, in which he gives further clarity in other passages, in which live the spirit of error, says that false union with the spirit of error. But of course, I'll always say that as soon when Adam and Eve fell, Satan entered into him, and the first thing he did was hide himself.
That's
because
right.
if he didn't hide himself in people, they would be terrified. They would think, my goodness, I'm occupied and enslaved to, you know, Satan's own spirit. And so it doesn't serve the devil to make himself known very often. So he wants people to think that they're just themselves, because that keeps them in a fog and
That's
in a bewitching
right.
and in a deception, sort of like the opening lines of Macbeth, where the witches are around the cauldrons, you know, double bubble toil and trouble. So, it's that old man. He's saying that man is crucified and can't come off the cross.
That's right.
There's no to try to get that old man off the cross, to revive him, to bring him back to life, to say he didn't really die. That's, I think, why Paul uses the present tense, I am crucified with Christ, rather than saying I have been or I was. The I am is the constant reminder that
it's done.
It is done. It's not a constant reminder in a shameful sense of the person that we were in our deceived state, the old man. It's a constant reminder that man is dead. And so, see, the old man isn't the man that was resurrected. Somehow, I died, and he says, nevertheless, I live. So there's still some basic self that is, I mean, there's, you know, Brian died and Brian rose, but it's not the Brian that died. The old man is, there's no trace of that in the resurrection.
Amen.
And it's not
coming
off
the
cross.
So you know what that says, that the human self never really was the culprit, was the problem.
Right, which is the apparent mystery of Galatians 2:20.
Yes, that the human self wasn't the problem.
How I can die and yet still live, and yet it's not I but Christ living in me. And so that's the mystery of the faith, folks.
It is. And I always like to, like I said in another program, I have my charts where I do my four eyes. And, you know, and so that was crucified with Christ. It's satanic. It was Satan in man, we were delivered from the satanic rule, the spirit of error that operated and lived in us, and we were delivered once and for all for that. That's what the cross did. Mm-hmm. And then Christ came and lived in us and is living in us, and that's a done deal. So if we have any problems, it's because we don't believe it.
Right.
That's our problem. It's unbelief. We do not believe that because we look at each other and ourselves and that can't be. Well, that's not what God is asking you to do. God is saying to you, take a leap of faith and believe what I say about you. That's what God is saying. And God's saying it is true. So take it and obey. And, you know, the Christians are all down our throats about, well, what about me and what do I have to do to obey? Well, obeying is simply believing the truth of what God says. I mean, it says this, obey the truth. Otherwise, you're in witchcraft. Whoa. Otherwise, you're in sin. And Jesus died in vain. Basically, that's what that's saying, bottom line. We might as well say it like that because that's what this is saying. So.
To see it propels us into the world of the Spirit. I mean, we're almost out of time, I can see, but, you know, he says, this only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit. So the point is, he's saying, is the receiving the Spirit. So
that's
what it's about. It's not about the human self by itself. It's receiving the Spirit. That is the prize. That's our inheritance now. He says, so you received the Spirit. Did you do that by works of the law? In other words, did you do anything on your own to earn it? Or did you simply hear by faith that the Spirit is available and receive?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to go into more detail next time.
Yeah, we will have to go into. But you know what? My husband, Scott, always says people have received the death of Jesus for their sins, but they haven't received the life of Jesus, which is, you know, his very life, his very Spirit within us, you see. And so, and Paul's actually saying, well, how did you? Okay, if you have received the Spirit, how'd you get it? Mm-hmm. You got it by faith. You didn't do it by good works. You didn't do it by praying a whole lot and working hard to get it. You did it. Everything is by faith. That's why this book, as well as Romans, most of the epistles, the whole basis of our life is from faith to faith to faith, to faith.
Right.
There is nothing else. So, and because we live by receiving, not achieving. That's good. We die to achieving and live by simply receptivity. Receiving like a channel or a vessel or a branch, just receiving.
So is that the liberating secret?
That's the liberating secret, yes.
Well,
I see our time's over, so thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you get this whole series. I think it's going to be dynamite, and you might want to share it with your Bible study, and you can get it right off our website. Any of these programs, you can get right off our website. We're just so thankful to our technician, David Moss, who makes that available for us,
and
we thank the Holy Spirit in him for doing that. So we give God all the glory. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on The Liberating Secret. Goodbye.
The more I try, the more I fall. I finally see the writing on the wall. The problem lives in what I see. A separate him outside, a separate me. In a desert.